Hebrews 11 and verse number 8. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should actually receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse number 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm interested in this phrase, for he looked for a city. I want to preach on this subject for a few minutes this morning, looking for a city. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, that we do have something to look for. I'm glad of that. Thank God that we do have something to look for. Now, the world is looking for everything else, but thank God, the children of God are looking for a better place to live. Abraham lived a tent life. And he's tired of living the tent life. He's tired of trying to sleep on rocks and roots and rough places. And he's looking for a city that has foundations. He's looking for a permanent home, where that a place that he can call home, that he won't ever have to move again. And thank God, won't that be a blessing? I'm glad that God's got this thing fixed where that we're looking for the same place that Abraham was looking for. He looked, he sojourned in a strange country, but he had his sights set on a spiritual city. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, that I got my sights set on something far better than what we have down here. He lived a tent life, and he lived a tried life. But it wound up, thank God, a triumphant life. And so things may get a little rough down here, but thanks be to God, we're looking for a better place. And one day after a while, we will get home. Let me give you four things, and I'm through. In the Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 5, I'm looking for a city where the sun never sets. Revelation 22 and verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. That's the kind of city that I'm looking for. Revelation 21 and 23. Now watch your Bible. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. There is a city where the sun will never set. Thank God, I'm glad of that. There will be no more lonely sunsets. For some reason, in this life, when you see that sun setting way over yonder, it's about the loneliest part of the day. But I come to tell you this morning, I'm headed for a place where there'll be no more sunsets. Thank God, I'm glad of that. And there'll be no more looking for the sunrise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. A lot of times we'll say, well, if we can just make it till the sun comes up, we'll be all right. I'm telling you, he's coming up. And one day, thank God, he's already up. And because of that, we're looking for a city where the sun will never set. And we'll never have to listen for sad news reports anymore. All we hear down here is sad news reports, and we don't ever hear any good news. But thank God, I'm glad that there is a city where there's nothing sad that ever happens. Looking for a city where the sun never sets. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. looking for a city where the sun never sets, but we're looking for a city where the saints never sorrow. Chapter number 21 and verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Thank God there is a city where the saints will never sorrow anymore. And I'm glad for that. Boy, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't a better place, why would we want to go? And if Jesus wasn't there, why would we want to go? Revelation 7 and 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah! Thank God there is a city where the saints will never sorrow. In this city where there will be no sorrow, there will be no more disease. Oh, we live in a land now that they can't keep up. They can't stay ahead with the medicine because all of the new diseases. And some happens over here and they said, we have no cure for that. Some will come up over yonder, they have no cure for that. Mosquito bites and I'm ill that. That's right. But hallelujah, thank God there's a place where there'll be no more disease. And then, because of no more disease, there will be no more dying. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, when dying days will be over. When death will reign no more. What a day that'll be. Thank God, when death shall never come again. Boy, I think about it, and I reminisce a lot about the years, and think about all the sorrows and all the troubles and the heartaches and the terrible tears I've seen cried because of disease and because of death. I've seen my part of sorrow. I remember one time I preached a funeral with the mother and the daughter. One casket here, one casket here, and I stood and preached over mama and daughter. In another funeral, there's three boys in a car one night had been a coon hunting. And they started back home and it come a flash flood. And they tried to get home and they missed the bridge and run in the river. All three of them drank. And we had all three of them lined up. Had one family here, and one here. Had three families. I'm talking about, I know about sorrow. I've seen sorrow. But thank God I found in this blessed old Bible that there is a city, hallelujah, where there'll be no more sorrow. I'm looking for that city. I've seen sorrow. I've stood and wept over families and tried to say something that has helped them through a dark, deep valley. But hallelujah, the sun's are coming up in the morning. I've preached all kinds of funerals. The saddest funeral I ever preached was a few years ago. Me and Bonnie went home and I was going to hunt a few days and rest a few days and got home one day and the next morning and I was out in the back fixing to go hunting. And Bonnie come to the door and hollered and I said, what is it? And she said, you can't go. I said, why? She said, something terrible's happened. I said, what? Said, Debbie's three kids just got killed on the way to school. I said, you got to be. She said, no. She said, I'm not. They done called. And said, they got them at the hospital. Done pronounced them dead. I said, my dear God, Debbie's my cousin, me and her daddy. And he's going on now to be with the Lord. But we were double first cousins. And she called and said, yeah. Said, they got killed going to school. We didn't know none of the details. Cassandra was 17, and Rachel was 8, and Seth was 6. And they was going to school, and for some reason or another, God only knows. Son, I'll tell you, when you come to that place, you just have to mark it up under God. Weren't meeting no vehicle, Brother Mike. Didn't make no turn, no nothing. Just left the road turned over, and the top of the car hit a pine tree and killed all three of them. And Bonnie said, they want you to come, said the upcountry daddy, which is just right up the road. said they want us to come. He said, Daddy wants you to come. I thought, under God. Dear God, not again. Sorrow had come again. And so we got dressed and went up there. And Debbie and some people were standing out in the edge of the yard, Brother Ken. I remember it just like yesterday, standing under a hickory nut tree on the edge of the yard. And we got out of the car. And she saw me. And I started that away, and she come and meet me. And this is what she said. She didn't say, what am I going to do? She didn't say, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But she said, Levon, said, I remember the day that I come to your house under such a load of Holy Ghost conviction that I couldn't go no further. And said, then you got down the living room. And we got down to that old couch. And said, you begin to pray. And I asked God to save me. And said, I remember the day that God saved me by His amazing grace. My dear God, she done went back under. Past the young'un's been dead. She done went back under past a lot of sorrows, and she picked up a treasure that God dropped in her soul and in her heart. And in my living room, I don't feed in my couch, where the God of glory saved her. Past this. I never have forgot it. Ken, she cried so when she got saved, she hyperventilated. I'm talking about she got in. That's the first thing she said. I remember, thank God, it's a good thing to have something. That when sorrow does come, you reach way back under in the back room of your soul and in the back room of your heart and get a hold of something that'll help you on down the road. So, there's a time to figure out how they're going to handle this. Three bodies at one time. So one funeral home said, we can't handle this. Said, we can't handle it. So one of the other funeral homes said, we'll handle it. And so we signed to get this thing together. God, you have no idea. We signed to get it together. Didn't know where we was going to have the funeral so to get some of the people in. And so we decided to have it in the high school gymnasium. And they built us a little platform and put it down on the playing floor. Put us up a little pulpit. And they put all the folding chairs they could get on the court where people could sit. So it comes time for the funeral. Hundreds and hundreds of people. And so we got there. And we got everybody in, we could. All the chairs was full. All the bleachers was full. Standing outside everywhere. And the undertaker's turned around the three bodies up across the front of that little platform. And Davis is sitting there and some of the family around. So we started having a service. Paul Reynolds, a boy I've been knowing all of his life. He said, he got up and he began to say, the anchor. Oh. Yeah. God, oh, Paul, begin to sing. The anchor holds. Oh. Yeah, three bodies. A broken-hearted mama. I seen David when her hand started up. Hundreds of people. God should throw her hands up for the victory. And to begin to shout and say, my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, he's down in the doctor. For you didn't ever think you'd have to go when you really need it. Hallelujah to God. If you're anchored in him, your anchor holds. Then it come my time to get up and say something. And I took that thought on in times like these. So this is what I said. I said, in times like these, it's a drawing time. I said, God has all of our attention. I said, today God is drawing the county. They was people from all over the county, all over the state, several states. I said, God's drawing the county. And I said, God is drawing the community. God is drawing the churches. And I said, God is drawing companions. But I said, thank God He's drawing us all to Christ. And then all the students were there, and I said, He's drawing classmates. I tell you that God can do more in 10 seconds than we can do in a lifetime. Now, Brother Ken, this is where the sad meets the sweet. When you're preaching a funeral like that, all the sweet side is the children's all right. But the sad side is we got to get through it. That's where sad. That's right, meets sweet. And so the service was over. And they begin to come by the hundreds to view the bodies. And they come. And they come. And they come. It seemed like an eternity to me. And we had nurses there. Every once in a while, I'd ask Debbie, said, you all right? She said, I'm fine. And so the fine, all the friends got back. And then Brother Mike, it come time for the family to come back. So they begin to fight by grandparents and cousins and kinfolks. And then it comes time for David to come by and say her last farewell to her three young ones. She got to Cassandra and she looked and hugged her and loved her. She come on to Rebecca. Finally got by all of that. Then she got to her baby. Little six-year-old Sam. She began to talk to him. She'd lay over in the casket on him. And she said, Bubba, Sissy will take care of you till Mama gets there. Said, Bubba, said, Mama loves you. He said, I'll be on in a little while. And he said, Bubba, please don't be afraid of the dark. Please don't be afraid of the dark. And they couldn't get her. They started trying to get her away from that. They couldn't pull her away from that. She just kept telling that. And I bumped them. I said, let me get in here. And I walked down there and I put my arm around her. Brother Kim, and I said, Debbie, there ain't no night. Where he's at. I said, there ain't no night where. So she got up out of that chest, threw her hands up, and said, well, hallelujah to God. I said, Bubba won't be scared. Ain't no night, but I'm looking for a city. Well, the saints never sorrow. Again, I say glory to the Lamb of God. Christ is sufficient. Thank God. God is still on His throne. They give her an award at the school for Mother of the Year. My God. I'm looking for a city where the sun never sets. Saints never sorrow. In Revelation 5 and verse number 9, I'm looking for a city where the singing never stops. Did we have some good singing this morning or what? Well, about 10:45, it had to stop. But I'm looking for a city where the singing will never stop. Revelation 5 and 9. Now watch your Bible. And they sung a new song, saying, thou worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For I was slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Where the singing never stops. It's a song of remembrance. We'll call it break out the singing. I remember the day. It's a song of remembrance. And then we'll follow that with amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's a song of remembrance. Thank God I'm glad that one of these grand and glorious mornings, on getting up morning, we headed to a city where the singing never stops. It's a song of remembrance. But in the same verse, it's a song of redemption by the blood. It's still the blood. The blood is still there. My dear God, we've been through all kind of sorrows. And the blood is still there. We've been through the worst storms, church. And the blood is still there. We've been through some of the worst sicknesses that there is. But hallelujah to God, the blood is still there. We're going to sing about it when we get to glory life. Blood's still there. Song of remembrance. Song of redemption. For the singing never stops. Let me give you this. I'm through. The sun never sets. The saints never sorrow. The singing never stops. But I'm looking for a city where the Savior's never out of sight. That's right. He is what it's all about. It absolutely wouldn't be heaven without Him. If we had to walk around and inquire where He was. That's right. We had to walk around and say, have you seen Him? I'm looking for a city where He's the light. Thank God all eyes will be on Him. He'll never be out of our sight. Glory be to God. When we get to that city where He's never out of sight, there'll be no more funeral processions. There'll be no more looking in on patients. There'll be no more hearses. There'll be no more hospitals. There'll be no more heartaches. There'll be no more homesickness. I get homesick every once in a while. Dr. Ian McAbee said this, that a man that's never been homesick ain't got no home. Hallelujah! I get homesick. If I didn't have no home, how would I ever get homesick? But if you got a home and you're away from home, every once in a while, about the time the sun starts there, you'll get homesick. But glory to God, since He's never out of sight, we'll be at home. No more homesick. And thank God, no halfway houses. Why? Everybody will be hooked on Jesus. Ain't nobody going to try to get off of that. Amen! We'll throw our hands up and say, well, hallelujah. We finally made it. This is just what heaven means to me. It's all of these things. There'll be no graves on the hills of glory. Thank God they will not be. No graves. There'll be no grieving over there. And there'll be no more goodbyes. That's what heaven means to me. But here is the greatest question that you'll ever be asked. in Debbie's darkest valley, her anchor holds. The question is, are you anchored in somebody that your anchor holds? Death will find you no matter about your age. Death will find you in spite of your abilities. Death will find you in spite of your authority. Death will find you in spite of your actions. But there's one thing about it. When death comes, if you're anchored in Him, your anchor will hold. I was in a meeting week before last in Lantrum, South Carolina. And during this thing, they do about like y'all do. They ain't ashamed to worship. And there was a lady come and got down. They got around and prayed. And she got up just a weeping and a crying. And I got up to preach. And they sang that song, "On My Anchor Holds." And I said, I know y'all wonder why that dear lady come down here during this thing and just weeping and crying. I said, she's just checking her anchor. Why, you can get around that all red once in a while and yank on it if you want to. That's right, you check it every once in a while. But every time I never checked it, hallelujah, it still grips a solid rock. What about your anchor? Oh, dear God, it'll be checked one day. But I'm glad that I'm looking for a city. God, I'm glad I'm saved. If the Holy Ghost has arrested you this morning, I'd give up. I wouldn't struggle. I wouldn't try to get away. I'd just give up and let Him get me to God. Save me. You here this morning, you're in a deep valley. Nobody knows anything about. But you know, God, I'd come jerk on that anchor up just a little bit. Does your anchor really hold?